the bunk and shifts, it had been a welcome change. For a moment, he enjoyed the warmth of the pillow under his head and the quiet. The other seven exhausted crew members were sleeping, and the only sound he could hear was their deep, peaceful breathing. That would soon change. The ship's alarm was both inevitable and necessary. The rest period was almost over. The Proxima was nearing the end of its hyperphase and would soon enter the Doro system, a destination where a multitude of expectations would be served, most by the fleet depot, where they hoped to repair the ship and replenish their supplies. With a bit of luck, they could drop off at least some of the evacuees, who were packed into the old cruiser like sardines in a can. Everyone would be relieved. Everyone had high hopes. Well, maybe not everyone. With a pang of regret, Marcus reminded himself that Margie may also be one of those who would disembark. Sure, their relationship hadn't turned out quite the way he had imagined, although he still had certain intentions as far as that was concerned, the chances of which would evaporate once she was gone. It was wartime. People died, and people quickly lost touch with each other. Marcus had no illusions about that. He swung his legs out of his bunk and immediately regretted it. The moment he moved, he felt the strain of the past few weeks throughout his body. It protested in places Marcus didn't even know he had. His body didn't want to move. It had to, but his muscles and joints screamed with every effort. Marcus acknowledged the protest. It reminded him that he was alive and able to move, and he should be grateful for that. By the time the alarm went off for his sleeping comrades, Marcus was already dressed and on his way to the communal bathroom. Here, the aftermath of shift work and the general strain on the ship's systems were particularly evident. It smelled bad, and the water was gelatinous. Actually, that was all in his mind. The purifiers were functioning perfectly, and the recyclers turned any liquid into drinking water. The situation was affecting him psychologically, and his perception would only change when the Proxima took on fresh water at the depot, or harvested an ice asteroid to melt. Until then, everyone was limited to a bare minimum of personal hygiene. It was certainly no fun. But who was having fun here anyway? He met Margie at their agreed rendezvous, and she sleepily nodded at him. She clearly wasn't in the mood to chat. That was just fine with him, since Vara's recent admonishment, which he still recalled vividly, Margie had become petulant. She didn't respond well to authority, even though Vara was obviously in the right. She refused to accept it. Marcus didn't want to argue with her about it. The new duty roster was ready on their computer pads, and they discovered that they had been ordered to their battle station as a precautionary measure. It would be a good hour before the Proxima arrived at its destination, and although everyone was optimistic, there was still the possibility that they could get a rude awakening when they landed. If that was the case, they would have to flee again, and the old ship was increasingly less capable of doing so. The vital unknown factor was the fragile state of their remaining functioning hypercoil. Marcus could picture Chief Engineer Thompson sleeping beside it during the hyperphase, talking soothingly to it. Thompson didn't like the demands Captain Ark was making of the ship, but she was the boss, and they had pulled through up to now, Marcus thought. Despite their catastrophic defeat, they were still alive and had made it this far, so they had a fair chance. Or maybe that was just wishful thinking. Anyway, thinking like that helped him keep up his confidence. Margie was clearly in no mood to help him in that respect. In fact, she looked as if